I got involved in this issue because I am a victim of revenge porn. In 2010, an ex-boyfriend attempted to sell a CD containing 88 nude images of me on eBay. And I approached the county police at the time, and all I heard again and again and again was that no crime had been committed. So again in 2011, the same ex created a profile, and he was pretending to be me on this revenge porn website. And on this site, there were not only pictures of me, my face, and my body, but my full name was there, the town where I live, the college and campus where I teach. This made me a direct target for offline stalking. And again, I approached the police and no crime had been committed. And I just thought that was ridiculous. I got in contact with a state trooper and he was very, very compassionate, very kind. He explained the Maryland laws to me and then he explained the limits of the law. And in my frustration, I said, well, then I'm going to change the laws.
I can't imagine what it was like to be going through what you went through. How did you learn originally that he had made this CD and was selling it on eBay?
He used my eBay account, and so eBay emailed me to let me know that the auction was successfully listed. And so, I received emails from friends and family because they received links to the auction. He had posted links on the Facebook pages that the college where I teach maintains. And he also let me know directly that he had done this. So he was very brazen about it. And what's really wildly ironic about all of this is that he lives in New Jersey, and New Jersey has had a law since 2004 that makes revenge porn and this sort of behavior a crime. But the police that I spoke with in New Jersey didn't know anything about it.
Did you realize that he had had nude photos of you? I mean, were you aware that they had been taken?
Yeah, this was consensual. We were in a long-distance relationship, and I was not comfortable with it, but I was within this very loving, trusting relationship. We had met in 1985. We were going to get married in 1990. I had gone off to college, and, you know, in 2009, he sought me out, found me on Facebook, and that old, you know, that adolescent, that high school magic was still there, and it was just so, this was meant to be. There was no question of whether or not this man was going to betray me. He wasn't a stranger. He was someone I had known for, you know, since I was a teenager. So exploring our sexuality was just something that was never questioned as a risky behavior.
And then it obviously took a completely different turn. You must have been shocked when you realized what he had done.
I was devastated. I was absolutely devastated. I never knew he was that angry. And honestly, I never imagined that someone could be so cruel. The criticism I receive often is, well, you should have known. And I've never thought that people would be this vindictive, that someone would set out to destroy someone in such a manner. It was absolutely devastating.
I can imagine your sense of security and your sense of safety and all those things would be shattered.
Yes. Yeah. The worst was in 2011 because so much of my personal information was made available online. For months, I was afraid to leave my home. I struggled with depression. I attempted suicide, and I had to go on medical leave from work. I was truly devastated, and I was truly terrified. The control of my life had been taken out of my hands, and someone else was in control. And that overall was the worst feeling, that feeling of abject helplessness, that somebody else was driving my destiny, because socially, crimes of a sexual nature, the victim is often blamed. The victim is looked down upon. I've had more people tell me that I did something wrong rather than address the fact that he behaved in a vindictive manner with malice.
And the revenge part of this in the legislation, I assume, for you is because you ended the relationship?
Yes. Mm-hmm. When we had reunited, he had grown increasingly controlling and manipulative, and I started seeing red flags. It took me a while, but I did start seeing red flags of an emotionally abusive relationship. And I, after a fight over the length of a skirt I was wearing, I ended it, and I just said, no, you know, this is not what I want. And he just was not happy with this. This was not, you know, the way he wanted things to go, and he was going to make sure that I suffered for it.
What are you hoping they will remember of your story when they're considering whether or not this should be law?
I hope they remember who of the two set out to do harm. I did not set out to do harm by consenting to having these pictures taken. I did not set out to do harm when I chose to trust this person. However, when these perpetrators put these images online, they are going to sites that are known, that are advertised as revenge sites. They are taking the power of the general public consensus that sexuality is shameful and using that power that they have to shame and embarrass the victims. So I think that that's where the attention, I would love to see the attention placed on the behavior that causes harm. Now that, you know, we know that there is this horrible risk and that people are engaging in this sort of malicious behavior regularly, I certainly tell the young women with whom I speak, you know, not to allow anyone to take intimate images. I will teach this to my daughter and her friends. Now there is a risk, and now we have to practice protection. But still, while victims need to take responsibility that this issue has come, you know, forward and we're starting to recognize it for what it is, the attention has to be on the behaviors of the perpetrators, and that their whole goal is to shame, is to destroy, is to harm, is to seek revenge.